Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, good evening. This is Marcy Ann, and this is my midweek pick-me-up energy show. And I want to thank you for stopping by. Hello, hello. Now, in the middle of the week, my purpose is to try to provide ideas for you that are full of energy to get you through the week. And I say this because ideas are full of energy. Some ideas have very powerful energy, and some ideas are full of negative energy. So I want to provide some ideas that are full of positive energy for you right now. And so first of all, let's look at what an idea is and where does it come from. Now, I see two sources of ideas. One is the brain in our head, and the other one is the brain in our heart. So let's look at these today. And I like to take out the Roget's, the thesaurus, and get a really good definition of what an idea is. So if ideas come from our head and ideas come from our heart, let's see what an idea is in the first place. Now, an idea is the workings of the mind, the exercise of the intellect, you know, like having a brainstorm. Or an idea can be a theory about something, or a fancy. I fancy something, or a notion. I have a notion about something. Sometimes an idea has an image attached to it, like we see something in our mind, a picture. Like if we need an idea to help us lose weight, we might picture in our mind someone we would like to look like Angelina Jolie. Or we might see ourselves in a new dress that shows off our slim new body. So an idea is an organizing conception. So an idea has motion. It's the beginning of something organic. So in other words, it can be organized into something that has form and weight and can be seen. Now, my friend Richard came over this last weekend, and we went to the full moon drumming at Aliso Creek Beach. And he told me of an idea he has to start an online school. Now, he's a teacher in the Los Angeles Unified High School District, which is the second largest school district in the United States. But only 68% of these students graduate from high school. And while that number is better than it has been in the past, it still means that 32% of the kids don't graduate. So we began a discussion of his idea. Now, remember, the idea is an idea is an organizing conception. So I asked him, well, do you think students who don't care about graduating would be a good candidate for an online school? Do you want to work with the below par student? Is your idea to help that one-third of the students who aren't graduating right now to graduate? And so as we discussed the idea, he got this look on his face. Well, I hadn't thought about that. I'm not sure I want to work with a below-par student. He said, usually those kids don't have any parental support. I'm not sure they would be independently motivated to go online to go to school when they haven't really been independently motivated to go to high school now. So maybe I would rather work with a different kind of a student. So I said, well, there are the Indigo kids and the Crystal children. Why not work with them? And he looked at me with this big blank look on his face. Indigo kids? Crystal children? Who and what are they? So I sent him home with an assignment. I said, look up on the internet and learn about these kids. These are the kids today who are all said to be ADHD or ADHD or have autism or Asperger's or other patterns of behavior that have been judged dysfunctional. And most of them are on Ritalin or other societal manipulating drugs to try to make them normal when they're just not like us and are never going to be like us. We need to learn how to be like them. I told him, I said, I'll tell you what, I'll prepare some shows that'll help the mothers of these children, and you prepare a school online for them so the mothers can get their kids out of the system, and these kids will begin to have a chance to be who they really are and do what they're supposed to do. And so he gave me a high five, and then we're going to meet again in a month. So this is how an idea begins. An idea begins to be organized and clarified and defined, and a pattern is developed for the idea to be put into and energized. So an idea is a regulative principle. Now, a principle is not a rule, because a rule is, you know, this is the way it is and there's no other way. That's what a rule is. But a principle is an interpretive wave of information about a specific notion. And then within that principle are regulative patterns of energy. So a principle has a regular pattern, but it's flexible, like a thermostat. See, a thermostat is an idea that has a regulative principle, because you can set the temperature to 70 degrees, but if that seems too cold, you can reset it to 75 degrees without destroying the thermostat, which is the regulating principle. So we've talked, and you know, on my show here, we've talked about how the electrons in the cells of our body operate like the pistons of an engine, you know, going up and down, up and down, up and down, creating waves of energy, these scalar waves of free energy. And when we introduce an idea into these regulative patterns of energy, then the idea begins to move along this scalar wave of free energy to form the idea. That's why we don't want to put any ideas into motion that are bad for us or have negative energy that would create something we don't want. So an idea is a beginning. In the thesaurus, it said a jot or a tittle. And that just tickled me so, because there's a scripture in the Bible that Jesus said. He said, think not that I have come to destroy the law. I have come to fulfill the law. And then he said, and let me kind of paraphrase this for you to put it into the, you know, vernacular of today. Trust me, every jot and every tittle of the law shall be fulfilled. Well, you know, the law he was talking about here are the laws of the universe, which at that time had only really been revealed very simplistically in the Ten Commandments. But standing behind those Ten Commandments are all of the spiritual laws of God. And we've talked about these laws. I'm not going to go into them now, but you know, like the law of attraction, the law of giving and receiving. And what Jesus is saying here is that every jot and every tittle of those laws are being fulfilled. In other words, every single thought, every single notion, every single fancy we have, every single idea has within it the potential to be completely and totally fulfilled. Okay, so just know every idea has the power to be fulfilled. Now, the last definition that the thesaurus said is an idea is an electron, a spark. You know, I've talked a lot about this because actually this was our very beginning, because we began as an idea in the brain of God's heart, just started out as a tiny little God spark of light, a quantum particle of light swirling and twirling around in the space of the universe. And as an idea of God, we came from God's heart brain, because God doesn't have a brain in his head. Now, have you heard about this about some people? They just don't have a brain in their head. Well, you know what? Maybe they're more like God than you realize. And maybe for us to become more like God, we need to quit listening to all those ideas in our head that are constantly bombarding our spirit, all those ideas of lack, ideas of conflict, ideas of what are right, what is right and what is wrong, or what is good or what is bad, and begin to listen to the ideas from our heart brain. Because our heart brain is where the idea that came from God's heart brain is. And God's idea of who we are is in our heart brain. Okay. So now this is what I do. When I get an idea that's just swirling and whirling all around in my head, I just close my eyes and I visualize myself going down into my heart. And I see myself opening the door to my heart and going inside of my heart. And then I begin to listen to see if the idea is in my heart. And if it is in my heart, then I start to talk to it. And I ask the idea questions, just like I did with Richard. Because an idea is a way of communicating with ourself. An idea actually is a self-consultation. It's a way of receiving counsel for ourselves. And as you explore the idea, you will hear wisdom from God's heart brain for you. And you will know if this is an idea that was in the original plan and purpose for your life or not. So then you will know whether to activate the energy of that idea or not. So now, why do we only want to work out of our heart brain? Well, first of all, our heart brain is in union with God's heart brain. So right there, you're connected to all of the intelligence and wisdom that God has about everything in everybody. Our heart brain can never make a mistake because it's united with God's heart brain. And God's heart brain operates in pure love. Love for us and love for everybody else. So the heart brain will never lead you in any direction that would bring harm to you or to anyone else, because love is harmless. Love never hurts. Love never has to sacrifice something to get something else. Love does not do something because they have to. Love always loves to do it. Your heart brain knows what is best for you, and your heart brain knows what will make you happy. Your heart brain will lead you to finding Mr. Right or Miss Right. Your heart brain will find a financial path for you that brings you abundance while you are doing what you love to do. Your heart brain will show you how to take care of your own unique physical body. You know, everybody's body is different. We can't all be put in a stall and fed the same thing because we're all different. And your heart brain knows what works for you and what isn't good for you. You know, for instance, my body can't eat yogurt. I don't care how much the doctor or the TV tells me yogurt is good for me. It isn't good for me. My body can't deal with it, and I can't do yoga. It's supposed to be so wonderful for you. I can't do it. My body can't deal with it. My body can't drink wine. And I don't care how long I live, if I drink wine, I can't drink wine. I can drink beer. But wine makes me toxic somehow, and I swell all up. My eyes and hands and feet all swell up. So our heart brain will tell us what to eat, how much sleep we need, how much water to drink. Our heart brain is perfectly connected to every single electron in our physical body, and it is constantly reading all the programs that are running in our body, and it knows what is going on and can tell you exactly what to do. You know, the brain in our head is really only a data storage place. The brain in our head has stored all of the information about everything that has ever happened to us. And the amygdala is the part of our brain which is the oldest part. It kind of evolved from the animal realm. It's sometimes called the reptilian brain. And this is the place where data is stored for our safety and protection. And in just a moment, you know, when the reptilian brain feels like it is in danger, it throws out a whole bunch of adrenaline that prepares us for flight or fight. And in men, this adrenaline stimulates the secretion of testosterone, and a man's muscles are filled with blood, and he's prepared to fight. But in a woman, the adrenaline creates enough energy for her to escape. But we also have the frontal cortex of our brain, which has the ability to reason and can override that flight or fight response and take another look at what is happening and choose a different solution. However, that ability to reason and choose a different solution is dependent upon the amount of information that is stored in the data banks of our brain and our head. And how many times have you heard, oh boy, I wish I'd known this or that when I had made that decision? Because all of the data in the brain in our head is based upon the past. And you know what? Today, that data doesn't seem very relevant anymore because things we have tried before just aren't working today. We have situations today that just don't seem to have any solutions. I was listening to a program on the radio in my car this past week. It was a call-in show, and it was Ask Your Priest, so it was Catholic-based. And this guy called in and said, oh, I've just found out that my girlfriend is pregnant. Well, right there we have a situation that is not in anyone's highest and best good. They're not married. Now she's pregnant. So obviously this was not a planned baby where there is a man and a woman who are devoted to one another and have decided they want to have a child and they've made provisions for the child to be nourished and cherished. And then he says, and my girlfriend's having all of those tests that her doctor requires. This was news to me. All kinds of tests. Apparently a pregnant woman today now is subjected to all kinds of tests, you know, like amniocentesis and ultrasounds. And then one of these tests showed that this woman's baby was terribly malformed, all sorts of missing things. And the doctor also told them that there could be risk even to her life if she continued with the pregnancy. So now here is a Catholic man calling the priest for advice. And then he says, and my girlfriend's been married before and has a 15-year-old daughter, but I'm 38 years old and I haven't had a child yet. And at that point, I just had to turn that radio off. I couldn't see where there was any solution for this. this situation is so convoluted, so full of miscreations. What possible solution would benefit everyone concerned here? And then there was another story this week I heard, which involved a divorce, because the man had been convicted of rape of a 14-year-old girl, so the woman left him and started a new life in another state. And they had owned a house together, which she had kept her name on, the mortgage, and allowed him to keep living there as long as he made the mortgage payments, because as a convicted sex offender, there wasn't any other place where he could live. And now he was calling her to say that the bank was going to foreclose on the home. And did she want to see if she could find some money to get the mortgage caught up so she could take it over and he would rent it from her, since he didn't have any other place to go? Like, he's going to pay her rent when he isn't paying the mortgage? I asked this woman if she'd had any notice from the bank that the mortgage hadn't been being paid, and she said no. She said all those notices were sent to her at the address of the home, where, of course, she isn't there anymore. She lives in another state and even has a different name. So you know what? There just aren't any solutions today. Just a lot of situations are just beyond solving. Much of what is going on today just needs to be stopped. Just quit. Move away. Move out. Start over. So my pick-me-up for you today is, let's start to only use the brain in our heart from now on. The brain in our head is going to give us all sorts of ideas, but remember, these ideas are based only upon whatever it is we've been taught, and much of what we have been taught is not in our highest and best good. So let's just make a promise to ourselves today that from now on, we are only going to make a decision after we know what our heart brain has to say about it. Because our heart brain is connected to God's heart brain. We have all of the wisdom and knowledge that there is available to us. We're not just dependent upon only what we know. God's heart brain knows everything, and God's heart brain will tell us when we are getting ourselves into something that's going to turn out bad in the end. It's time to step out of all of those old, unsolvable situations and start on our divine path that our heart brain will show to us. And the first thing that your heart brain is going to do is to show you how to love and to be loved. And you will start by loving yourself, because every decision that your heart brain is going to give to you will be a decision to love yourself first and only do what you love to do. No more doing what you feel like you have to do. No more doing what you feel like you need to do. Doing your duty is not loving and being loved. Feeling sorry for someone and enabling them in their repetitive actions of failure is not love. Hoping is not loving. And your heart brain is going to teach you what true love is and what true loving is and how to love and how to be loved. And your heart brain is also going to show you how to release any part of your past that has produced scars in your heart. And God's heart brain will show you what you need to know about these past situations, so you can see why it happened so you can release it. And then soon your own heart brain, united with God's heart brain, will be providing ideas for you that are going to be more exciting than you have ever dreamed. And you're going to be on a path to happiness that fulfills every desire and idea in your heart brain for you for this life. So tune in next week on Wednesdays at 9:30 a.m. for our next middle of the week Pick Me Up Energy show. And then I wanted to announce that on the last seven Friday nights, I have created the seven steps to manifesting what you want in your life. And that series is soon going to be available to you now in MP3 downloads on my webpage, www.MrWrightForMe.com. And now on Friday nights, beginning this Friday, June 20th, the first day of summer, at 5 o'clock at Pacific Daylight Time, I'm going to begin a weekly support show for women who wish to find Mr. Right and for men who wish to find Miss Right. And each week we are going to discuss some aspect of your soul's preparation to being with the man or woman of your dreams. And our text is going to be my book, 17 Things to Do While Waiting for Mr. Right, which you can download and get ready for the show at www.MrWrightForMe.com. And that's Mr. is M-R, M-R-R-I-G-H-T-F-F-O-R-M-E.com. www.MrWrightForMe.com. And this is Marcy Ann now. I'm going to say aloha, that wonderful ancient Hawaiian word that originally meant love is to be happy with. And that's what I want for you, and that's what God wants for you, is, and that's what I want for me. Everything, every moment is we are happy with our life. And hello, aloha also is hello, goodbye, and I love you.